This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
I want to welcome you to join us today for services at Abundant Life Ministries. We are meeting at the Martin County Board of Realtors Auditorium, located in the Wedgewood Common Shopping Center, 3204 A Southeast Federal Highway, Stuart, Florida. That's in the Wedgewood Common Shopping Center's the north end. You have to enter off of Indian Street, and there's plenty of parking, 9:30 a.m. Sunday morning. Join us now as we go into a service in progress. It's entitled, Experience Freedom from Hurts Through Forgiveness. This is part two.
After my father had an affair, family was split up and dad was out and it was painful and mom was brokenhearted. And I remember mom telling me one day, she said, it would be better for me if your father, some of you have been around families that are broken and you know how that starts happening. I was even one of those children where I think both of my parents would say to the other, your son, Jonathan. But my mother said, I believe it would be better if your father, George, was dead than that he was still living and that I would be reminded on a regular basis of the fact that our family has been split and there's the pain and the hurt and the loss, and every Christmas it was there and every child's birthday it was there and every resurrection season it was there, and every 4th of July it was there, because we had been a family and we were close. And when a family is torn apart, I have to just tell you that you may not ever have good, warm, fuzzy feelings about all of that happened, but you can have freedom from the control and abuse of those situations. Dad forever was wanting to apologize to mom over the years that would come after his restoration in the Lord. We were in a Hardee's restaurant, and Dad said, can you arrange for me to see your mom again? And so, you know, Dad comes, we have mom with us, and we're sitting at the table, and she's asking my dad, do you have any children? Now, mom had a little Alzheimer's at this point, right? So mom didn't remember who he was. Now, Dad still wanted to apologize whether she remembered or not, because he's trying to get the burden off of him. He wants to, he's still convicted over his sin, right? And so my dad would list the five children, and she said, that's funny, I have children by that name. And then Dad would say, well, I was your husband. I'm George McLean. And Mom said, George McLean. He said, yes, I was your husband. We were married. And Mom, just as straight-faced and as sincere as could be, said, you're a much nicer George than the one I was married to. And you know what he was? Because even though he sinned horribly and it was a horrible tragedy, yet that brokenness in his life brought him to a new place with God. And my mom, with her Alzheimer's, I mean, she didn't know a lot of things, you know, but For her, she was just totally free, and she just said whatever was on her heart, and she was free, and Dad said, well, I want to apologize again for what happened, and Mom didn't even remember what happened at that point, and that was so okay. And I wondered if maybe there was some additional peace that Mom had in those years because she wasn't able to remember some of those things. But I think that's one of the ground rules to keep in mind when you forgive biblically, you release the hurt into God's hands. And you say, well, I did that, but I still hurt. And that gets back to the onion. Every time you smell it, you sense it, you think it, you feel it, you release it again. And you release it by saying, I don't have to feel warm about this and fuzzy, and I don't have to have happy feelings about wanting to try to fix it. Listen, sometimes you can't fix it. And God doesn't want you to in all cases. So we have these references in Matthew. I want to go to Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 6 real quickly. Matthew 5, Matthew 6. Matthew 5 is a picture of a believer coming to worship. It's verse 23, Matthew 5, 23. So if you are standing before the altar in the temple, if you're in the presence of God, whether it's in your home, it's in your prayer closet, whether it's in a worship gathering, whether it's at communion, you're in this place with God. If you're standing before the altar in the temple, and this is 23, so if your translation's different, you can follow. And you've come to bring a sacrifice, or you've come to bring a gift to God, or you've come to present yourself, and suddenly, see, that's the way hurts are. They show up suddenly. You can one minute be totally free, and suddenly something reminds you and it pops back up. And here you are, you're seeking God, you're here to worship, and suddenly remember what? That someone has something against you. Now wait a minute, Jonathan. You mean if I'm in the midst of worshiping, and in the process of that, I remember that somebody has an issue with me? God, you want me to do something with that? Why can't I just say, that's their problem, God? Not mine. I didn't do it. I didn't think it. I didn't make it happen. Well, maybe you did. I know none of you here have ever hurt anyone, so it's not you. It's those people watching. Oh, don't take it so serious. Come on. But this is serious. This is serious. You want to know how to have breakthroughs in your prayer and your devotional time when something comes up like this? I say, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. What if it's God bringing it up? Well, why would God bring up something about somebody else's issues? Because if you know about it, then it also has an impact on you. You say, well, wait a minute, what is the word saying? If you bring your gift, you remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice beside the altar, and do what? Go and be reconciled to that person. Now we're going to see, we already talked about it, you can't be reconciled in every situation, but you can go back and attempt to be reconciled. I wish there was time to actually bring somebody up and kind of model how this is supposed to work. Because some people say, okay, well, I remembered when I was going to worship that you have an issue with me, and the Word says I'm to come to you and be reconciled. So I'm coming to tell you, I didn't do anything wrong, and it's your problem. And if you'll get your heart right with God, then we can be reconciled, because I don't have anything going on in here. I'm okay. So I wish we could illustrate this because you'd understand it better. If you just fix your problem, then there's no problem. You know, we're okay, right? How many understand that is not what the Word of God is talking about? The Word of God is talking about when you're being touched by God and God is ministering to you and you're coming to worship God, and you remember that the enemy is at work in a brother to divide you in some way, then go to them and endeavor to be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. Come to terms quickly with your enemy before it's too late and you're dragged into court. Okay, that's dealing with your enemy. So if someone has an issue with you and you remember that, God brings it to mind. God's desire is, let's say it's all their fault. God's desire is that they be healed. Right? Because God's desire is that we be healed. Maybe if instead of going saying, listen, if you'll just get your act straightened out, you won't have an issue with me because there's nothing wrong with me. If we don't go in that kind of a spirit, if we go and say, you know what? God convicted me. Because that's what we're talking about. I was in my prayer time. I was in my devotional time. I was in worship. I was getting ready to receive communion. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, dealt with me, that there's something between us. I can't think of one thing that I have, one rock I have to throw at you. But maybe I'm not understanding the hurt that's in your life that's brought a separation between us. Would you be willing to open up your heart and just tell me what has hurt our relationship? And could we pray about that? Could we... Now I'm talking about, you know, in the faith community where we are looking to be reconciled, being restored. And you don't go with, hey, I've got an axe to grind here. No, I'm going with the willingness to say, Sunshine, this is hard for other people, not for us, of course, because we're mature. But it's hard to say, maybe I messed up a little bit. Listen, you will not be a reconciler unless you're willing to drop your perfection for a moment. Lay it down. Lay down your super holy righteous rags. Just lay them down. If you want to be free in the realm of relationships, and I want to be free, I'm going to have to be willing to lay down my self-righteousness and say, I want to just hear your heart. And you know what? If you're not ready to say that and mean it, you better stay alone with God till you're ready to. Because the mess that you think you have nothing to do with, it could turn into a bigger mess if you go as a Pharisee to try to bring reconciliation. Any of you understand what I'm sharing this morning? Last week we talked about communion, and today we're really talking about communion too. Because in our walk with God, the Holy Spirit will bring to our attention some things that need to be addressed. I remember the morning as a manager for paper distribution and had a bunch of carriers under me. And on this particular morning, I was running this route. You know, if people didn't show up, then I had to do it. And I don't remember all the details of it. I just know that I was driving down a street, and there was an individual that lived on that street that had endeavored to bring another pastor in to get me fired, had gone through, I'm not going to go into all of that stuff. And I thought I'd forgiven this guy. And I realized it still hurt, but it not only hurt, it was personal hurt. And I'm driving down this street. I have to deliver some papers. In fact, I had to deliver a paper to the house. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me very clearly and said, I want you to apologize for carrying this hurt so long and ask this one to pray for you. Oh, Lord. Okay, I got a plan, God. It's early in the morning, it's dark out. I got a plan. If this is really God, you've never prayed these prayers. If it has to do with humbling yourself, you can be assured it's really God. But I'm going to help God out. I'm going to give him a plan. I said, now if this is really God, then as I am coming to the house to throw the paper, instead of going through the window, if the light comes on and the door opens and he steps outside the door, if this is really God, that's what's going to happen. Then I'll pull in the driveway and I will repent. I just want to put the brakes on before I got to the house because I know how God can work. But I'm thinking I'm good because it's early in the morning and no one ever came out of that house at this time in the morning except this morning. And on this morning, as I approached the house, the light came on, the man stepped out the door, and the Holy Spirit said, now, not tomorrow, now. And I pulled in the driveway. And can I just tell you that God broke both of our hearts that morning. And we wept and we prayed together and we cried together. And so you want to know, did he come back to the church? Did he bring all of his money back? No. Did I go hang out on his fishing boat? Did I go over for afternoon tea? No, didn't really do any of that. But I'll tell you what happened. I went to apologize to him for carrying the hurt. And then he apologized to me for causing the hurt. And it was real. It was genuine. It was God. God had been talking to him just like God was talking to me. And the two of us, how many of you know if you are bringing your gift to the altar and God reminds you of someone that's offended or has an offense against you, just maybe God is talking to them as well. Quiet in here. Okay. All right. So that's somebody that has an issue. Probably none of you have ever experienced any of that. Somebody said something about journaling. Thank you, Missy. Journaling. I'm just going to confess. In my journals, our notes, call this person and repent. Do you know why? Because I'm in my quiet time with God, and God says, what about? And I write it down. I say, okay, God. My journal not only has God's bits and wisdom and exposition of the Word of God, it also has correction and direction in my life. Now, you may be so close and so far ahead of me, it may be like John Whitfield and John Wesley. Somebody asked John Wesley if he thought he would see Whitfield in heaven, and they argued over theology. John Wesley said, no. I don't think I'll see George Whitfield in it. So wait a minute. Are you saying that you don't believe he's born again? Great revivalist and preacher. He says, no, you totally misunderstood me. What I'm saying is I have such respect for him And I am confident that God has used him so much more than I've ever been used, that I believe he'll be so much closer to Jesus in heaven than I will ever be. And so I don't know that I'll ever see him in heaven because... Wait a minute. You mean John Wesley actually came to a place with someone that argued theology and division, religious division, that he came to that place where God did a work in him where he said, there's some things I may not ever understand, but I know this. This is a man of God. And I know that God uses him. All right, forgiveness, forgiveness. Well, we might not get finished with this today. Okay, we talked about those who have issues with us, sort of. Chapter 6 of Matthew, chapter 6 of Matthew. We have the prayer Jesus taught his disciples, right? The Our Father. You all know Our Father, right? Is there anything in there about forgiveness that any of you can think about? What's it say? Forgive us. Forgive who? Forgive us. Whose trespasses? Our. That means it's forgive me my trespasses. My wife and I, we grew up in a holiness background where, hey, we really wanted to be totally sanctified, so there were no trespasses that we are making, right? But we still had them. Even though we didn't believe in them, we still had them. And we didn't pray this prayer a whole lot because this prayer could be convicting, because this prayer says that I am to forgive others as I forgive. Forgive us our trespasses. God, you forgive me as I forgive others. That's what I meant to say. God, you forgive me as I forgive others. Or as I forgive others, God forgive me. So, what if I don't learn how to forgive? Or what if I don't understand the significance and importance of forgiveness? And I'm standing before God, and God says, Jonathan, what about that morning you were driving down the road and I told you to humble yourself and ask forgiveness? What if I just kept driving? We've been talking about how our choices impact the quality of our life, the length of our life as a born-again Christian. Don't blame God for all your garbage. He didn't do it. People say, God, why? God, deliver. God, heal. Don't charge God with doing all that stuff that you've been doing in your own life and then come in and say, why isn't God delivering me from all of this stuff? I could have driven right on down the road and I knew how to, that window was down right over there and I could have zipped that paper right up and slid it right onto his porch under his feet. He could have had a perfect delivery and I could have had a perfect rebellion against God. What do you think? To stand before God and God to say, why didn't you forgive? Okay. Why not? Why not be free anyway, right? I want to live forgiven. Forgive us our sins just as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. That's Matthew 6. 12. But then did you notice verse 14? If you forgive, it just reemphasizes it. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. That's pretty great, isn't it? It's a promise. It's in the Word of God. You forgive those who sin. Those who sin. But God, sin hurts. You forgive. Your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But, verse 15, if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Let me just give you another point that impacts the health in the church. It's the level of forgiveness we live in. Just give you a little thought here. Mental health is greatly impacted by the level of forgiveness that I live in. Intestinal, digestive health is greatly impacted by the level of forgiveness that I live in. Heart condition, greatly impacted by the level of forgiveness I live in. Rest and sleep and insomnia, conditions that are greatly impacted by the level of forgiveness that I live with. Am I telling you anything new? Say no. No. Maybe somebody will say, well, isn't it? Well, then why am I telling you? Because the enemy knows that freedom is a choice to the believer. So when we choose life and choose to forgive, it releases us so the Father's favor can be upon us.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Nothing is impossible.
Trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus.